Wellness begins where play, pleasure, and the parasympathetic meet. You were born to be you, and you were born to be well. Your body is always trying to find its way back to health. Now, here's the host of Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith.
Hello, my friends. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world, whatever time it is, you are listening to the podcast, Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, your witchy doctor and change advocate. And we are on the Inspired Choices Network, where we really like to inspire people to live their best lives. And for me, it's about living through play. And today I have a guest, Ms. Flossie Njama. Did I pronounce that right, Flossie?
Close.
Tell everybody how to pronounce your last name.
Njama, like the magazine Njama.
Just Njama. All right, there we go. Flossie Njama. And we're going to talk literally about moving yourself from survival to sovereignty, from inflammation to inspiration, reminding us that where you start has no bearing. Your past does not determine your future, my friends. Instead, let your future determine your present, and let your present reanalyze your past and edit it for your own benefit. That's really how I like to begin. Flossie started in Kenya. She grew up. She did not even have shoes till she was 12. No modern amenities, limited access to education, and she has advanced degrees. She lives in America. She visits Kenya. She helps the world in so many different ways. She is a light in this world. And so her story is really just a story, because who she is light and love. And Flossie, I'm so excited that you decided to take time to be on this podcast today. And we're going to really dive deep, because you've done a lot of healing and you know how to play with your life. You know how to live with gusto and really enjoy your life. But I think you've also had challenges in your life, and you've played with those challenges instead of letting them define you, right? So let's start at the beginning, because we don't often get people who grow up in a tiny little rural village in Kenya. I just don't know that many people yet in rural Kenya. And so delighted that I met you on a trip to Kenya, no less. But tell our audiences about your growing up, because it is different than most Americans listen to.
Thank you, Tina. This is so cool. I am stoked, I want to say. Just the fact that I met you, we made a trip to Kenya. We became like sisters that never met before. You came to see a little bit about where I come from, and so you have a better idea. So that means a lot. I do want to say that my growing up was fantastic. Why? Because that's all I knew. I know. Whatever I had, the little that I had, to me was a lot, because that's all I knew. So I was born in a very, very tiny village. And unfortunately, you didn't get to visit. And no. The other people did. But it's very tiny village. And back in the day, now things are a little different. We didn't have hardly anything. We didn't have, like you mentioned, no paved roads, no running water, no amenities whatsoever. So we also ate from the earth. We fended for ourselves. I didn't even know what shoes was until I was like 12 or 13. And even when I did, the shoes were just to wear to church and back, and it would be that one little 20 cents, maybe back in the day, pair that I would wear and put it away. But I was happy, and we were all happy, because that's all we knew. And we grew up knowing that family is everything.
Yeah.
Education was very rare. Very few people could afford education, because as you all know already, tuition in Kenya is paid. There was no free education. So when I finally, being the youngest of eight, actually nine, because my mother tells me our firstborn was born immediately after she was, died immediately after she was born. So we would have been nine. But being the youngest, I will say I actually had the luxury, or I was blessed and fortunate to be one of the few was able to go to school, only up until what they call the secondary education, because there was no way I was going to afford to go to college, which we can talk about that later, not until I came and moved into the United States much later in the day is when I went to college. So growing up was very, we were doing our things, we were working, we were cleaning. I had chores like first thing in the morning, I'd have to go fetch water, feed the cows, fetch firewood, all that before I went to the little tiny school, which was just a building up the street, you know?
I don't mean to interrupt, and yet I'm curious. So
Yes.
there was like a little schoolhouse. I'm curious about, when we say no education, did they want to teach people to read and write?
They did. They did. There are people that still could afford the education. There wasn't education for most people that could not afford because you
But
needed to pay for it.
I
Yes.
understand. But even the people who couldn't pay for education, were there people teaching them how to read and how to write?
Not really.
Not
No.
really.
Like
Okay.
my mother didn't know how to read and write.
She didn't.
Oh,
Okay.
she never did. She never did. My father didn't know how to read and write. She didn't know how to write her name. If she went to the
Wow.
bank, they would have to use a thumbprint and that kind of thing. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that's how I grew up. And then it went, I was able to, I was able to go to what they call primary, which is equivalent for elementary school. And with my family, brothers and sisters is what I mean. They would pay and put a little bit here and a little bit there. And my mother would be farming. Whatever she sells is what she would put and pay at and pay for my tuition. So it was very, very challenging.
Yeah.
But it ended up.
How many of your eight siblings ended up getting some level of education, let's say before the age of 25?
I would say about four of us.
Okay.
And I get
So
them, and I
half.
got the most education. I got the most education because I was the youngest.
Right.
And yes, so I was more exposed to that. They were able to help me out. Whoever had a little bit of money, they were able to put it together and then they'll pay my tuition. Not without challenges. I got sent home several times. And when it got to the secondary school, which is the next level, which is equivalent to 12th and 13th grade, I believe. It was a boarding school, so I would go there and I'll be there for like a month. Then the tuition would run out and I'll be sent home. Then I would walk home many, many miles and I'll come back to school after my mother sold a few foodstuffs. Then I'll come back and I'll go another 3, 4 weeks, maybe a month, depending. It happened a lot. It happened a lot till I
And how did
graduated.
that feel as a child in a school where other people could stay the whole time and you were coming and going? That, children don't like to stand out, no matter, I don't, it's an interesting thing. We all want to be the most unique us, and simultaneously, we all need to fit in like we belong, right? And it's this counter in, I hadn't even thought about it right now, but it's sort of this counterbalancing of I'm unique and different. No, I'm just like everybody else, right? And we balance that seesaw a lot. And for children, right, to fit in is so you don't get picked on is important, because it hurts to be
Well,
picked on.
it didn't feel good at all. It felt different,
Right.
especially they would call out my name, announce my name in what we call the morning assembly. So they'll call out, who hasn't paid their tuition, and they go home and get it. So they call out my name, they call out somebody else's name, and you'd have to walk home. So it didn't feel good at all. You
Yeah,
felt
it's
this
tough.
little. You feel so unfortunate. You felt like you'd ask yourself, why me? Why am I so poor? But you still had to go with it.
And then, but how did that change your motivation?
In the beginning, it was not very motivating.
No,
In
okay.
the beginning, it wasn't not motivating because then you'd feel you'd have to still come back and try to catch up. So the motivation, if it was there, if I remember, it lasted very little. You are mostly feeling like an outcast, like,
Right.
will I ever make it? Yeah. So it, I ain't gonna lie, it did not feel motivating. However, I want to say, through all that, I didn't realize then that this was all learnings for me.
Yeah, so tell us what you learned from it.
Later. I want to say that what I do and who I am today, in everything that I did, has brought me to this day.
Yeah.
I grew up, I will say it gave me grit. It gave me so much grit. It gave me so much strength, so much to know and believe that nothing is impossible, which actually that's my favorite saying by Nelson Mandela. It looks impossible until it's done. I even have it on my phone. I have it everywhere.
I love
And
it. And impossible spelled I'm possible. Right? And people forget that, right? Whether you can or you can't, you're right. And it's that belief that, don't give up until you figure out how to make it happen. I love that.
So true. And it taught me not right away, of course. It taught me to keep failing forward and pick up the pieces and keep going and don't give up, which is actually part of my book that I dedicated to my mother that says, don't give up. Don't give
I
up.
love
And I
that.
never did. Yes, I felt disillusioned sometimes. I felt small sometimes. I felt low sometimes because I was young. But as I got older, I was starting to see and feel like, okay, I'm building this grid little by little, piece by piece. And I kept going. This today, I do believe is because of my past that I'm where I am. It's because of my past that I do what I do. And because of all that, I appreciate a lot of people and what they do and where they're at.
And the role models, tell me a little bit about, you said, it wasn't common from your village to go to these schools. So now you leave and you are exposed to these schools, even though you're coming and going. Did you have role models different than, and this is not to critique mom, but your mom is not able to read or write and she works, she's not. She's using her smarts, but not her book smarts, right? And she probably got married at a young age and had lots of kids. And maybe your teachers were a little different. I don't know. How did you negotiate? Oh, there's different ways to be in the world. My mother is not the only role model for me.
Whoa, that one is a good one because I was a little different. Because I was the youngest, and from what my mother tells me, I was what she called a menopause baby or pre-menopause baby, afterlife baby. I took it. She used to say that I didn't think you were going to get born, but here you are. It happened. And I used to feel like I gotta prove it, you know? And she used to say, you are my strong son, because I was like a tomboy. And I would do be jumping and running. You've seen me get around, you know? And she used to have, she had so much faith in me because I was this feisty, which I still feel I am. I was feisty in a way. I gotta get it. I gotta get the next thing. So without a particular role model per se, I did see as my mother as one of them because she never gave up. She'll be up till 7 o'clock in the dark, in the farm, in the garden. I'll run over there to ask her what is for dinner, which was no brainer because it was usually the same food almost every night. But she's still working so hard until so late in the evening, and she never gave up. And
So
so
your
I
mom was
looked
a
up
role
to her.
model.
I
She
looked up
didn't
to
give
her.
up.
Yes, I looked up to her, and even until she died when she was 90. I looked up to my mother so much, and I kept wanting to telling myself, I'm gonna do as good as, if not better. And I'm gonna help others, and I'm gonna assist others and give them what I achieve. And that drove me, and I didn't realize that what it was at that time, but I'm just driving me and driving me. And I've always had the drive ever since. Even today, I always wanna keep going. And she sticks in my brain. And I know even my daughter tells me sometimes, Mom, you know, I become you, and you become sure. Sure means grandma,
Yeah.
because she knows
So
it's the same thing.
we're gonna take a break. I want everybody to think about who are the role models in their lives that keep them going, that are the little battery, if you will, that drives you forward, that you are living life, and are you living life for you or to make them proud or just to be like them because they make you proud? And on that note, we'll take our first break. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, where we play to heal. And we are on the Inspired Choices Network, and we will be right back. So don't go far away. Come right back.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. I want to give you a preview of my book that comes out this Friday. It's called Your Healing Playground, and it is lots of information in here about healing through play. And so please put it on your calendar to buy go online, buy an Amazon copy, a Kindle copy, a paperback copy, or both on Friday. And now I want to get back to our interview with Flossie Jama. And I want to take us, she grew up in Kenya, tiny little rural village in Kenya, in and out of school. She had tuition, she could go. She didn't have tuition, she had to walk home. She's getting her education in spurts, but her role model is her mother, the energizer bunny that her mother is. 9 deliveries, 8 kids that she's raising, Flossie being the baby. Flossie, when in your life did you have the aha moment, maybe I don't stay in Kenya for the rest of my life. Maybe I change my life around and go, from Africa to somewhere else. How do you get those kind of ideas? When, why, and how do you make the impossible possible? You don't have enough money for tuition for high school, much less getting to America. Okay. How do you get on a plane to America when you don't have money for high school? So tell me how you make the impossible possible, please.
Okay.
And how do you dream it? How do you even have that dream?
I'll tell you, the dream was always there because we believe, and the people in Kenya believe then and now, that United States is the land of opportunity. You've gone to the United States, according to them, you've made it. So I always wanted to do that. However, it didn't happen right away. It didn't happen easy. But, and fortunately, after what we call in Kenya, tamaki stands for walking the streets of the city of Nairobi, which you know what it is, and looking for a job day in, day out. Why is it called tamaki? Because you're hitting that road, that tarmac every day, and you're getting on that
Oh, the
bus.
tarmac.
Yes, every day.
Oh,
And your
okay.
shoes are worn out because you don't drive.
At least you have shoes now.
Yeah, yes. And you're going every day for months on end, and you get a
Oh.
little job here and a little cleaning job here. It don't matter whether you graduate or not. So that's what I did. And I got a lot of those odd jobs. Lots,
Okay.
lots, tiny little ones. While I was still wanting to work for an airline, I always said again, I can fly to the United States, to the UK. I want to be a flight attendant. And to get to that took years. I finally did. It wasn't that easy either. Okay. So when I
So you
finally
have
did,
a dream and you're like,
yes.
I love it because it started with visualization of a dream. And I want to remind our audiences, it always does start with the dream. Science fiction, becomes
Yes.
documentary, right? You gotta have a
Yes.
dream. I love the fact you had a dream. Okay,
Yes.
flight
So I
attendant.
eventually made it to the Kenya Airways, which is
I
the
love
airline
that.
in Kenya,
What
after
were
doing
the
all
what was
those.
your requirements to like meet to be able
Oh,
to get on there?
the necessary requirements are not the ones that are followed, but you had to be a certain height, okay?
Oh.
Because you gotta reach the cabin, you gotta be pretty. I don't know what beautiful and pretty was to them. I don't know what they're looking for. You gotta be a certain size. Well, they didn't give numbers, but you had to be skinny a certain way. But also, I want to say you had to know people that knew people.
Right.
Actually, that worked more for most of all, more than anything else. And I didn't know people that knew people.
Right.
So it took several interviews, and then you get that letter in the mail and another letter and another letter. You're not a fit, you're not a fit. It took a lot of those many, many times.
How did you keep going after rejection?
I was like, this is my thing. I'm back to the tarmac again, and I'm doing the little odd jobs in what I could find. And I'm still living in the village, and I'm telling myself I'm gonna make it. So I'm talking to different people, and in the process, I'm connecting and learning and connecting people and learning how to go about it. So I'd apply again, I through a different person, or maybe connected by another person. And eventually, I got the interview to pass the interview. And I was so determined.
Love
I
it.
was like, I gotta see myself on the other side, because working for the Kenya Airways to me and to my people was like, you can make it to the other end. You've made it.
Yeah,
You
you
made
can
it.
see the world. You get to leave
Yes,
Kenya.
yeah. That was before they had the malls and everything. You go to the other side, you bring them stuff from the outside world. It was huge. It was huge. So that's how I got into the airline, which after I worked for the airline for 7 years, then we were laid off. The airline laid us, I believe we were 200 of us, because the business wasn't going well. And so they had to lay off some people. So unfortunately, I was one of them. And that really hit me hard. I had just started helping my family where I could. I had just gotten married. My daughter had just been born. And there was so much. I felt like I'm going from up here now to down. The status is gone, because that gave me some status. And with that, I started little things, little jobs here and there, and selling just some merchandise. I have to make ends meet. And
Right.
I kept telling myself, I am going to make it to the United States somehow. But in between that, I had flown to the United States with the Kenya Airways and endorsed ticket to just visit. Just visit. Because you could get an endorsed ticket once, as a
What
staff, and
what kind of ticket?
an endorsed ticket, which you get
Okay.
like 100% or 80% with a different airline, because the Kenya Airways doesn't travel.
Okay.
Doesn't fly to the United States. So that's when, after I lost the job, I decided I'm gonna figure something out. So it took some work, it took some fundraising, it took some borrowing some money, it took a lot of that. to work my way to the United States, to come and not know what I'm coming to do, who I'm coming with, where I'm coming to stay. I'm just coming here because I believe it's the land of plenty with no plan. And that's how I ended up here in New York. I wrote all that in my book. That was probably the best thing I did and maybe the worst thing that I did at that time because I
And you
didn't
came
know.
with your daughter and your husband or
Nope.
by yourself?
Nope. By myself. No husband then, left him behind, left my daughter. I didn't know what I was coming to do. I didn't have a plan. And
Huh. And
that's why I
how old were
said
you at this point?
I was in my mid-30s, early, actually probably 29, 28, 29.
And what did mom say about this? What did
She
husband
didn't
say
have much
about
to say.
this?
They didn't know the details. The way I did it to them was, okay, it's excitement. To them, you're going to United States. Nobody's even going to question you. You're going to change the
So
village.
you
You're
just
going
said
to
you're doing, yeah, you found a ticket, a way to get a
exciting.
ticket, and you're going.
You got a
Okay.
dime here for you and a dollar here. Oh, they're excited because you're going to get there and make their life different. So they
Okay.
think.
Got it. So everybody's counting on you to change the world for them.
Yes, and I come
Interesting.
to New York and I've left my ex-husband behind and I've left my daughter and asleep and I have no plan.
But at this point, was he an ex?
No, he wasn't.
No, right.
He
You're
wasn't.
still married.
He
Okay.
wasn't. He wasn't. But I've assured him when I get to the other side, because I had already made a connection, talked to a person here and there, it's going to be okay. And he believed it would be okay because that's what we thought. It would be that easy. It wasn't.
No, it's not easy when you get here.
I put it all in my book right here, Village Vibes is right there. It's part of it. The book is about how I reversed my disease. However, I tell the first two paragraph, two chapters about me coming here before I got to get diagnosed. So it tells a little bit about that because when I got to New York, it was not the best thing that I did because a place to stay was an issue. How to get around was an issue. I didn't have the money. $100, all I had,
Wow.
because I had changed all the little money that I had because I didn't have the money. And it was very, very difficult. Very, very difficult.
What was the
But
first job that you got to try and make ends meet?
I was dishwasher.
Okay.
I
And
was a
who did you
dish.
stay with?
Well, I didn't get it right away in New York. I stayed with a friend in Queens, and sometimes I didn't even have a place to stay. Yes, but I did. I had to relocate from there to the next state, which was New Hampshire. That's about 2 hours away from
Yeah,
maybe four,
no
I think.
longer than that. It's
Yeah,
probably about four or
four.
five.
Yeah, yes. And that was my first job. While I was in New York, I did not get a job. For 6 months, I could not find a job. I could not find a job. It was just like tarmacking or tarmac in Kenya. Again, it was very, very difficult. It was, yes. So my first job was a dishwasher. And I had never seen these big dishwashers in these restaurants this big. I'd have to step on that little stool to reach up to bring up the big it's like a crate of plates and glasses and the steam from the water. I remember that very well. The steam from the water is hitting you as you're loading that. You're loading that. That was difficult. And I remember one thing specifically that this man, he said, the manager, I don't think we can give you this job, Flossie. And I said, why? Because we usually hire men to do this job because this is manual work. And I told him this very well. I'm going to do this job because I was raised working with my hands. I can do this. And he said, I don't think so. But what I'm going to do is I'll give you the chance. You do the job. And if you don't think you can come tomorrow or the day after, you don't have to call me. Just don't come and I'll send you a check. And he gave me the chance. And I did it. It was very difficult.
You are definitely impossible as possible until it's and like you're going to prove to the world that anything is possible, that this girl can do what she needs to do, make money to get by. She moves. My friends, I grew up in New York, and New Hampshire is very cold, even
Yes.
compared to New York. And she's coming from Kenya, which is not a cold country. So change in climate, change in country. Change in career, change in from a flight attendant to a dishwasher, you really were willing to do whatever it took to put food in your belly and change your life around. We're going to take another break. We're going to talk about your healing journey from illness back to wellness when we come back. My friends, you are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am Dr. Tina Coopersmith, your host. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. And come right back because Flossie is going to tell us so much more about getting sick and coming back from really healing herself from an illness that we don't think is healable. So come right back. You're listening to Your Healing Playground.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness because you are your best healer.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends. Once again, you're listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. Please remember you can follow me at drtinaplays.com because I do like to play. And today I'm playing with my friend Flossie, and we're going to talk about her healing journey and how she can play and heal herself and create tea, right? So she goes from dishwasher, from flight attendant, from child who's walking to and from all around Kenya looking for a job, all around her farm and home, healing. So much to do. We live in a world where so often we are told you can't do that, especially as children. You can't do that. Get your head out of the clouds. That's impossible. Flossie has decided if she has a dream, nothing is impossible. Now, a lot of people, her parents, her husband might say, you're crazy to leave. You have nothing in Kenya. It's going to be harder to have nothing in America. And yet she decides to get on a plane and look for opportunity elsewhere. Like so many of the people who live in America, they come here to help themselves, to help their family, to help America, to really show people, even in America, to never say, I can't. And so, Flossie, you did that. You say, I can, not I can't. But at some point, your body said, you can, but maybe you can't completely. And your body gets sick, right? So tell us a little bit about, when did you get sick? What did you feel in your body? What did the doctors tell you? And again, how did you do the impossible? Right? So I want the people to understand that nothing is impossible. But you did get sick. And, you know, maybe you were working too hard. Maybe you didn't have the right nutrition because you don't have the right money. Maybe it's too cold and your body's not used to New Hampshire coming from Kenya. So what happened to you?
Oh, getting sick, I call it a gift that I bought for myself. Why? Because I could tell when I was getting sick, but this is in brief, this is how it started. So I had to get a second career. In other words, I had to put food on the table. It didn't start with a career, it started with other little jobs as well. Then I had to decide, okay, I got to go to the next level. So I went to nursing school. Even before that, I had to acclimate myself to the United States. It was a whole culture and food shock for me, for starters. Okay? That culture shock and food shock was a lot. I had to get to learn and enjoy the food and adjust. I had to learn the culture. I had to learn how to drive in my 30s. It was a lot. Now I'm in this. Then I had to Before then, I had to get, I got into nursing school with all the little odd jobs on the side. Then I brought in my ex-husband, brought in my daughter. It was a lot. It was family. It was work. It was learning. It was school. It was a lot. And I did it. It took a while, 10 years of that to get into my, to get my BSN. But in the process, I'm still working. So it's 2 hours sleep, 3 hours sleep here, family here, school here. And that was a lot. Then getting to working. Now that I'm working, I gotta, mind you, I'm still helping family, even with all that, with the lift that I could make. And I still getting the keep up with the United States lifestyle, which was a lot. So now I'm working, and now I'm like, okay, I'm gonna kill it now. I'm gonna do it. I'm going to help my family. And I started a project back home, which is a project I talked to you about. And I'm helping family and I'm keeping the bills here and I'm working a lot. When I mean a lot, I'm talking about 2 12-hour nursing jobs, 5 6 12-hour jobs nonstop. So much so that my couch is my best friend. Okay. So
how many hours of sleep would you get per day?
3 to 4, which I actually did a whole thing with my coach that she had to do. Yeah, she kept me, when I got my coach, much years later, when I was going through my separation with my ex-husband, we had to put down how many hours I was sleeping. And 1 week we counted, she still has it. And it was 1 week I had slept 24 hours. And she put me on a sleeping program. That's the whole thing we did. And now I work it better. And so that was part of it. So it was get up and change and go to the next job, do this and do this, this family. Then there's eating. I'm eating. We didn't eat out a lot because we didn't have the money. We cooked at home and we had leftovers and frozen, but we didn't know what it was. We didn't know what was the difference between the dirty dozen, the clean food, the GMO. I didn't know none of that. So I'm still cooking at home. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm really good. And I'm juicing, which is I'm a juicing enthusiast. And so I'm like, I'm good. I've got my smoothies. But all that I have in there, I'm taking them to work, but they're not the correct ingredients. So I'm buying myself this disease because I'm not sleeping well. I'm eating this. I'm thinking it's good. And then I started getting feeling different. And I feel something. That's when I talk to people about inflammation, which is a talk I do a lot. Talk about don't ignore the signs and symptoms. Because I'll be leaning over and I'll feel a little something like a whiplash, like maybe less than a second. And I'm good. I got to keep going. I got projects. I got people in Kenya to help. I got this to do. And I'll go on and I'll feel it again a month later or something. I'm like, no, I'm good.
So the body whispers and then we don't listen. And then the body talks and we still don't listen. And it's not till the body screams that we can't ignore it. And that happens a lot. And dis-ease, when we finally give it a name, is when the body is screaming. And the signs have often been there in before, but we do ignore them because we have not been trained to listen. And like you know, I mean, medical school, I joke, but medical school residency training teaches us how to survive and work on low sleep, which is a guarantee for people to increase their risk of disease. And yet we normalize it in the healing community. So in nursing and hanging out with nurses and doctors, it's normalized to be energizer bunnies, overworking, under-resting, and it's a setup for disease, but it doesn't matter because we think disease is normal, that bodies do that, instead of saying, no, 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 you're supposed to give your body rest when things are off, and so the body can heal before you get the dis-ease. So I hear you, you're not sleeping, you're overdoing, you're putting so much pressure on yourself also to take care of your patients, your family, both in America and out of America, and potentially going through a divorce, which is even more pressure. How am I going to do this alone? So you got a lot on your plate.
You said it right, Tina, because it's you. I'm become the matriarch, taking care of everybody else, but on me, instead of wearing my own oxygen. And I, because I'm a doer. Because remember, I grew up just doing and doing and making it happen, but I'm not making it happen for me inside. So it took the disease, it took the diagnosis to tell me stop. It took being out of commission, which is what I talk to people about. Don't wait till you're out of commission, because by then it's a little too late, because right. There's other things introduced, depression, stress, all that, no money. So let's do it before we get to that. I never did that. Yes, I'm taking care of other people. So with that is, well, after the diagnosis, obviously, is a shock. When you
she got a diagnosis of sarcoid, my friends. Sarcoid. If anyone, it's an autoimmune disorder. It's called sarcoid. What were your symptoms?
My symptoms was the aches and pains, like little small ones. But most importantly, I was losing the little weight I have. I'm not a big instructor. My body's, I'm little, so I was losing weight. I had aches, like not an ache, like a discomfort up my belly, up here, a little bit different. Then I had scabs on my body. And I had one big, and my labs were off, completely off. When I got to them done, they were completely off. There were actually some of them, my creatinine was lethal. My scabs, I had one big one was by my eye, and that's what actually brought me to my third specialist. I'm saying third because I went to my primary, then I went to my other doctor's specialist, and they did all this blood work. They couldn't tell if I had lupus. They could not tell from the TSH, all the blood work that was coming back, until I finally, like, I got these little scabs, and one up by my eye, on the outside of my eye, I should see a dermatologist. So that's how
skin
I got diagnosed.
What she got, yeah.
So it started with the skin. Yeah, so she did the biopsy. Of course, not from the one by the eye, but one that I had in my belly. And that is a biopsy that came back after 2 weeks with a positive for the sarcoidosis. And that was the time when you get that phone call. You're a doctor, you know that. Oh, that phone call that says the doctor wants to see you because your results are back. I will never forget. Now, was those days of the dead of the? Those were the days of the landline.
Oh wow!
It was 2015. Okay. We had the landline, yes. And I went to see the doctor, and she dropped the bomb, and that was very nerve-wracking. And I was all by myself in her office. And to bring it closer and tell you, no word for word, what exactly happened is, I said, I requested her to let me go get a second opinion, which today is the best thing that I did. Because with my second opinion, which I did sought one, and a third one, in between, something came to my mind. And it's like an antenna went up one time, and I said, oh, I'm from the village. My mother used to do this and that. She used to give us warm water and salt, and she said that will make you feel better. Well, not just for a belly, but it would feel better. And she would tell me this, and would, like, she would make this, she would boil this. And I said, this is all in all that research. Then I started researching things, and then I started what I call concurring remedies. I'm like, I'm going to try. They say this has no cure. Okay, let me see. Either this remedies or the disease, one of them is going to take me. Obviously, we are going to die. I get that. And so I started putting my remedies together the way I knew how. And I'll be my own guinea pig, I call it. And I'm reading stuff, researching, and then I'm learning about the GMOs, the dirty dozen, the pesticides. I went crazy. Like, those were the days I'll pull over and I'll be like, oh, I got to write this. Okay. I'm driving, I'm listening to something. And that's how it started. And I'll try them out and I'll juice and I'll.
We're going to take a break and we're going to come back and you're going to give us, you know, bullet points in our last minute of the things that you recommend that really helped you. My friends, you're listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. We are listening to Flossie Jama in her healing journey. And when we come back, so please come back, she's going to give us a list of the things that really helped her help her heal from autoimmune disorders. So my friends, come right back.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness because you are your best healer. This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
All right. Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network. If you like this podcast, if you are getting information from it that you enjoy, please go to Apple and Spotify or Google, rate it, give it a five, share it with friends, subscribe, get this word out to all these people. And again, Flossie is going to summarize for us in this. She ended up with an autoimmune disorder, lack of sleep, overdoing, underresting, poor food, lots of chemicals, lots of toxins. These are things we are plagued with in America and maybe around the world too, but definitely in America. And she found solutions to keep a disease that really has no cure in Western medicine, and it is controlled, and she is healthy, and she is strong, and she is vibrant. So Flossie, let's start because we have about 8 minutes left, and I want to get the bullet points that you used, and then we'll share some of your products too.
Absolutely, absolutely. The one that I go with really big is I encourage you, that person, me, be the CEO of your own body. Be the CEO. What do I mean by that? Do not outsource your body. I know we need our medical personnel. I'm one of them. I'm medical personnel. But do your 80-20. Do your job. Do take care of yourself 80% of the time. Know your body. Learn your body. Then I'm talking about changing. The other bullet point is changing your lifestyle. Adjust your lifestyle. Tweak it a little bit. Simplify your lifestyle. It doesn't have to be too complicated. I live what I call a simple, healthier lifestyle. I actually say healthier lifestyle. By that, you add and incorporate daily routines, simple daily routines, things that are going to compound and improve your health. They don't have to be big because we are focusing on staying committed and staying consistent. So that is big for me. What are those? The choices, the food we eat, the food we put in our body is very important. The stuff we put in our mind. So I say mind and body together. Are you your mind or your body? Or are they together? You can't exist without the other. You can eat all the food you want, or you can call it nutrition. I don't call it nutrition because I'm not a nutritionist. I call it the healthy food that you eat, what you put in your body. But if your mind is not ready and prepared and accepting with that, your unconscious mind, that food, it's just going to be water. They have to go together. So I talk about that. Then I talk about the stuff that you shop for. Read your ingredients. I don't say go and read and go make yourself so crazy to stuff that you don't understand, but simplify it. If it looks like it's an ingredient you can't pronounce when you're shopping for your food, leave it. Leave it on the shelf. If it's your muffin and it's got 10 ingredients, that's not a muffin. Educate yourself. And, you know, when you educate yourself, you're empowered because the knowledge is power. You don't have to go so much. Just be aware. And I say your mind. No, I say your food is your medicine. Your mind is your ultimate healer. That's how I conclude everything. So shift your mindset, transform your lifestyle.
I love it. I can or I can't is right, right? If you believe it's possible to heal, it's going to be possible to heal. I want to summarize. I think it's great. And I want, Flossie has some amazing tea.
And I got the other flavors.
Yeah.
This one is empty.
Flavors that do have ingredients that are anti-inflammatory to help with inflammation in the body. What you eat, what you think. She's got a book. And she's got programs online for simple, healthy living. What's your website?
You can just do flossiesturmerictea.com or
flossiesturmerictea.com. We'll have it in the show notes.
Yes.
Her website. You can buy her teas. They'll ship to your door. Prioritize sleep. Prioritize education. Know your body. Know your mind. Rest and move. And eat real food. It's really simple. Go back to the earth, put your feet on the ground, take your shoes off. She started with no shoes. She remembered the remedies from the ancients, from thousands of years ago. Believe that you can heal yourself, and you can heal yourself. So believe in yourself, believe in your dreams, and take care of yourself. Take care of yourself before you expend all the energy outward. You need the energy for the cells to care for yourself, my friends. It is okay to sleep. It is okay to rest. It is okay to listen to your body and say, no, I can't do that today. I need to care for myself. And Flossie has learned you can do lots of things, but you do need to prioritize them. You need your body to be healthy and your mind to be healthy to be able to do all the things. So don't wait till you're falling apart. Listen to the whispers. It's okay to say no. It's okay to rest. And believe me, I'm talking to myself, the Energizer Bunny, when I say this to other people. I need to learn to get more sleep, to get better sleep. I need to learn to rest and not always do. Just be who you are. The doing comes later. Flossie, it's been a pleasure to listen to you. You are a role model. You make your mother proud, all your siblings proud, your daughter, you are a role model. You can heal the world by healing yourself. My friends, the power of one, it only takes you. Take care of yourself and heal yourself.
If you felt something move today, a molecule, a mindset, or your mood, that's healing. Your body listens to your stories, your thoughts, your breath. So speak to yourself with kindness, play with curiosity, and let your nervous system know it's safe to rest. Dr. Tina returns Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, 8 Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Remember, pleasure is a practice and play is your medicine. On InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Remember, pleasure is a practice and play is your medicine.